Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soaring with the Eagles in Leadership and Excellence with your host, Misty P. Long, Director of Devoted to Him Ministries. Devoted to Him Ministries is committed to winning the lost and building up the body of Christ through broadcasting the Word of God with fire, faith, and power, teaching all nations, and lifting up the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today's message is designed to help you grow in every area of your being. Through the devoted lifestyle, we can all win. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. James 5:16. And now, Devoted to Him Ministries founder, Misty P. Long.
Hello, greetings from Tulsa, Oklahoma. We love you and we appreciate you. We're so glad that you clicked on this on Facebook or devotedtohim.org or Blog Talk Radio. Or wherever, maybe somebody emailed it to you. However you got access, however you got access, we're so glad to have you with us. No matter what the day, no matter what the hour, no matter what the time, whenever and wherever and however you got access to this Word of God and this conversation tonight, we're excited for you and so glad to have you join in on our discussion. So this is Devoted to Him Global Ministries Incorporated, and I'm the founder and president, Misty Long. And we also have here on the line with us one of our faithful partners and committed officers in Devoted to Him Ministries, Sister Patricia, Ms. Patricia Jones. And we are just here to have a talk about a topic that is dear to our hearts as Devoted to Him Ministries, and that is the topic of prayer. So buckle your seatbelt, get your Bible out, get your smartphone out, your laptop, your iPad, pen, paper, notebook, whatever you need, a cup of coffee, cup of iced tea, whatever you need, get settled in, because we want to have a conversation with you about what we believe is one of the most important things in life. And so we're going to look at the subject tonight, you know, pray without ceasing. That's the whole point in a nutshell. Pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. We're going to look at persevering in prayer. Sticking with prayer, through thick, through thin, through high, through low, through good, through bad, through happy, through sad, whatever is going on in your life, always be praying as you go through it. Be a warrior in prayer. You know, I know there's a lot of people on this broadcast that are fighters. And do you know how I know that? Because I know a lot of you that will get a hold of this or get this in your hands. I don't even really know you according to the flesh. You know, never seen you. Don't know your name. Don't know where you live. But I just know the spirit of Devoted to Him Global Ministries. And, you know, things God has revealed who we are, our purposes in the earth. And I know one thing, Devoted to Him Global Ministries is a warrior ministry. Hallelujah. In the things of the spirit of God. And we are warriors in prayer. We don't play prayer. We don't nimby-timby prayer. We don't tit-tat prayer. We don't, you know, sneak around prayer. No, we don't dibble and dabble at prayer. We are about prayer. And we pray, and we pray constantly. And we have our minds on prayer. And when we're not praying, we're worried about prayer because we know that in God's kingdom, prayer is what makes God's kingdom go round. No prayer, no power. No prayer, no direction. No prayer, no revelation knowledge. No prayer, no peace. You don't have that shout in the streets, no justice, no peace. You know, in the Black Lives Matter movement that's going on in the world today. Well, we just want to say, coming from the kingdom of God, you know, hey, no prayer, no peace. So prayer is central to being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't want anyone to think for a moment they can be a serious Christian and make prayer a side item, the bottom of your priority list. It's no way you're going to be serious in the kingdom of God. It's no way you're going to be a serious threat to the kingdom of darkness. It's no way you're going to be a serious threat to the devil if you don't pray. Prayer is what we got. Prayer is what Jesus left us. We are to pray without ceasing. Stick to our guns. Stick with it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't give out. When you can't do anything else, make sure you're praying. You need to pray when you can do everything else. You need to be praying. When you got all the money you need, all the information you need, all the plans you need, all the people you need to be praying then. And you also need to be praying when you don't have enough people, and you don't have enough money, and you don't have a plan, and you don't have a direction, and you don't know what's going on, and it's crazy and chaotic. You need to pray in every situation. I got evidence right there. See, the word of God is our evidence. Because every time we come together on this show, and every time we come together as the body of Christ, whether it be a church service or a prayer meeting or whatever it is, we are in divine court. We are in the divine courtroom. And God is the judge, we're the prosecutors, and the devil is the one on defense. And our evidence in the court of God is his word. And it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, pray at all times, on every occasion. Pray at the prom, pray at the Christmas celebration, pray at the revival, pray at the conference, pray at the family reunion. We ought to be praying at the dinner table. We ought to be praying at the grocery store. Come on now. We ought to be praying on our way to the bank. We ought to be praying at work. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the spirit, with all kinds of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. So we just want to be bold and forthright and get straight to the point with you. We need to be praying at all times. And so I know you may be sitting there saying, well, from a practical standpoint, Misty, you know, literally you cannot just pray all the physically speaking, okay? Because you have to do other things, and your mind has to be focused on those things while you're doing them. You can't wash dishes and have your mind on something else. You got to be focused on the dishes. You can't drive on the highways and byways in your car and have your mind somewhere else. You better be paying attention to the road. I can't be at my job doing my job. Most jobs people work, they got to have their mind and be engaged on the job to do their job well. So what are you telling me? I need to pray while I'm driving on the highway, and pray while I'm washing dishes, and pray while I'm, you know, and pray while I'm on my job. What are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about an attitude, and I'm talking about a posture, and I'm talking about a disposition in life. Because I guarantee you that as you're washing dishes and as you're riding up and down the highway and as you're at your job, there are things coming to your mind throughout the day. Things that if you don't handle them right in the spirit, now come on, help me here, Pat. If you don't handle them right in the spirit, they become worries.
Mm-hmm.
They become things that stress you out. And they become things that become negativity. And weigh on you and hold you down and hold you back and have you distracted from the good things that God has for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that we understand that when, as we flow in life and go through the day, it's 24 hours in a day, and you start at the, you get up and you go through your first hour and your second hour of the day and your third hour of the day and your fourth hour of the day and your fifth hour of the day and so on. As with every other human being on this planet, there are thoughts running through your mind all day long, going from one thing to the other. And you can rest assured that your thought life is being affected and influenced by the world around you, by what you're seeing, by what you're hearing, and by what you're feeling. And by, you know, that all that covers the people that you're around, the people who you know, the people who you love, what you're seeing in the newspaper, what you're seeing on TV, what you're hearing on the radio, what other people are saying to you and around you and about you. You're constantly being bombarded with all of that. And we know that because we're in a fallen world, that it says in Ephesians 2 that Satan is the god of, that a lot of that is negative information that's coming around you every day, hour upon hour. And so if you don't have skills in knowing how to, I would say it's kind of like recycling. You know how in modern technology we've learned how to recycle a lot of things that used to be trash. We've learned how to recycle plastic. We've learned how to recycle a lot of waste. You know, and we learned how to recycle things that would be trash and make them into something that's productive still. So you can kind of say it's similar to that. The trash of the world, oh, shoot, I'm about to have a gusher here. The trash of the world comes in to your thought life. The trash of the world comes in to your emotional life. The trash of the world does, you know, it yells, it shouts. I mean, it's going to, you know, make itself known to you. You can't run, you can't hide. You in this world, and the junk of the world is going to present itself every day. But prayer is that agent that God has so mercifully given us that if we'll handle it right, the trash will come in, and we'll pray, and the trash will come out, glory of God, hallelujah. The trash will come out, victory. The trash will come out, breakthrough. The trash will come out, a miracle. The negative comes in, and if you pray about it, the Bible says, and again, I got to have evidence, I'm in court. Every time I open my mouth for God, I'm in court, I'm a prosecutor. God's the judge, and the devil's on the defense. It says in Romans 8:32, God works everything to the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So that's it right there. Everything that happens is not good. Everything in this life is not a good thing. In fact, probably most things are things that are the product of this fallen world. But it says that for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, God will work it through his divine recycling system. We'll work it to a good. Does it say that's going to happen automatically? No. It says those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And one of the purposes for every person born into this world, if God had his way with everybody, which we know he doesn't because he gave us a free will, and everybody doesn't choose God's way. But every person that's born in this world, if God had his day, one of the first purposes we all born for before any other purpose can really be birthed or achieved or we can even be know about it would be to pray. We're all put here to pray. So if you're a praying Christian, you're a Christian that loves God, and you're a Christian who's called according to his purpose. Because now you tell me, Pat, who's going to be praying all the time in Jesus' name that doesn't love God? No, if you pray all the time, yes, we know you love God, and you may never say the phrase, I love God, but if you pray in Jesus' name to God on a regular basis, we automatically know you love God.
Amen.
So that's not the only requirements for your junk to be turned to a good, for your trash to be turned to a good. The only requirement is that you be loved God and be called according to his purpose, and he has promised that every single dirty, negative, low-down thing that comes near your life, he will work it to a good. Again, I'm in court. I'm in court now. I'm a prosecuting attorney. God is the judge. The devil is on the defense. What is my evidence? Romans 8:32.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God is my evidence. God has promised, I will work all things to the good of those who love me and are called according to my purpose. Pat, take this for a minute. Do we as Christians, do we have a purpose in sticking with prayer?
Well, prayer is the foundation of everything.
Well,
you know, that's where it begins, prayer. We can't have anything without it.
Mm.
It's the foundation.
Yes.
You know what? We know what Jesus did when he went to the hills and prayed.
Mm.
He went to that solitary place.
Mm.
And we know the ministry he had. And we know the
the
life he lived.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know something I have been thinking about, you know, the last few days, is, you know, people, especially in this day and age we live in, people are real big on mentors and role models, you know, and a lot of parents are really concerned about who their kids are connected with and who their kids look up to, you know, in sports and in entertainment and even in the church. A lot of parents are real picky, you know, about this whole role model mentor stuff. Well, first of all, you know, God didn't make Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and then mentors.
Mm-hmm.
God made Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and other kids they had, okay? Mentors is something that we've come up with. And I understand that whole concept of what that means, and I'm not saying there's no value in that. But I believe God's design is your main role model, your main mentor is who? Mom and daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And a mom and daddy are who they're supposed to be and have the prayer life they're supposed to have, God will give them dynamic influence and penetration into the hearts and lives of those children for the glory of God. And you don't have to worry about who else is doing what, because there will be a divine covenant and protection on that relationship between those parents and that kid. And that's a kid's supposed to be a child's primary, you know, human role model is supposed to be the foremost. But the deal is this. When we look at how the world phrases it today, they're real picky. Well, I don't want my kids looking up somebody got a certain income. You know, I don't want my kids looking up somebody got a certain type of career. I don't want my kids looking up somebody that, you know, got all these worldly attachments. But, you know, the last few days, you know, I've been thinking about Jesus. And his life before he started his ministry, his life doing his ministry, and then past the end of his life when he was getting ready to conclude his ministry and leave this place. If we held him to the standard a lot of these little snotty, snobby parents hold, Jesus is not a mentor or a role model. First of all, he was a carpenter. That's a real simple, humble type of profession. You know, it's not no hoity-toity big-time profession. Okay, and then he went into his ministry, and he went and he said, "Foxes have a hole and birds have a nest, but the Son of Man don't have a place to lay his head."
Mm-hmm.
So we got somebody that's not a homeowner. Come on now. By the time he started his ministry, 33 years of age, he just got up and started going and started picking out disciples. He didn't have a building. He didn't have an office or a set place where he worked every day. He didn't have a home. He didn't know he wasn't a homeowner. Okay? He didn't have a big old wardrobe, okay? He lived a very simple life. And then he was going around preaching and casting devils out of people and calling the established role models and mentors that everybody's looking up to, the scribes and Pharisees, called them vipers and dead men's graves full of tombs, you know, tombstones, dead men's caskets full of bones. You know, come on now. He went around, he was blasting those people. He went into what they would call the church house and turned the tables over and went to work because they was changing money and gambling in the church house. Jesus went berserk, kicked them out, and said, God said my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations and not a den of thieves. If we looked at the worldly the worldly definition a lot of today's parents have of who they want to be a role model and a mentor for their children, Jesus would never have fit that description. Mm-hmm. Because he was a revolutionary, because he was a pioneer, because he was moving in the Spirit of God. So we have to be careful as leaders and as authority figures in the community and as parents what we're calling a role model and a mentor and how we're directing our children. Because a lot of times the people that are on the front line for God, they may start out kind of weird. They may not start out traditional, and some of them may never be traditional. They may never own a home. They may never have a Mercedes Benz. They may never have what we would call a 9-to-5 job. You know, so a lot of things, and they may never dress out a Rothschild and John A. Brown and Macy's and Neiman Marcus. But yet, we need to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit in people's lives. We need to look at people's character. We need to look at people's purpose in life and what their goals are and their ambitions are, people's integrity. And we need to look at what they have said God told them to do. Are they being faithful to it? Is it biblical what they're going for? And are they being faithful? And if God is upholding that, as far as I'm concerned, that's a mentor and a role model. Because I think our children, even Christian children, are being led astray by these little guidelines we've set up for who we would consider children ought to look up to and ought to follow. If somebody has a dynamic prayer life, and they have a lifestyle of prayer, and they're praying without ceasing, and their life measures up to the biblical standard, to God's standard, I don't care if they dress out of Walmart. I could care less about that. You know, there are people that are millionaires that dress out of Walmart. I'm not looking at whether or not the person carries a Gucci bag. I'm not looking at that. And I'm not looking at whether they live, you know, rent a room from somebody or whether they live with a $300,000 home. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at their commitment to God. I'm looking at someone that's finding their purpose in Christ and who's fulfilling that purpose and who's paying the price to walk in that. As far as I'm concerned, that's a mentor and a role model. See, we get all mixed up and the church gets all worldly, okay? We end up getting worldly. I mean, and we have to, and that's where prayer comes in, Pat. We have to be so careful because, Pat, we are weak and we are vulnerable. We're here today and gone tomorrow. And if we're not careful, we can be easily deceived. There's the true church and the false church side by side. Mm-hmm. And some of the people in the false church used to be in the real church and fooled around and wouldn't stand on their watch, were not staying alert in prayer, and fooled around and got seduced by the world and seduced by the devil and don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're admiring and looking up to the wrong thing. Because like you said, Pat, prayer is the foundation. And I'm not only talking about the children, Pat. Here I am, way past childhood, many decades past childhood. But, Pat, I'm careful who I look up to. Come on, let's shout, Pat. I'm careful who I'm modeling after. And my first requirement is not how expensive your house is or whether you have a house at all. And my first requirement is not what car you drive up in. And my first requirement is not what how expensive your outfit or whether you got a designer outfit on. And my first requirement is not what college you went to. What kind of prayer life do you have?
Mm-hmm.
Are you consistent in prayer? Are you reeking with the smell of a prayer warrior? Do you talk about prayer? Do you love prayer? Do you constantly have testimonies from your prayer life? Because, man, you cannot have a powerful, consistent, dedicated, committed prayer life and don't always have a testimony. Now, Pat, I'm about to shout.
Amen.
Every time you see a person like that, it'd be very few times you see a prayer warrior and they don't have a test. It's kind of like somebody that's a hard worker. I'm about to shout up in here. Somebody that's a hard worker. It's very few times you come across a hard worker and they don't have some money in their pocket. Come on now. They always got some cash and some change and some money and some left over to bless somebody. You will never run into a person that has a true, dedicated, deep, in-depth, persevering prayer life that don't have miracles and testimonies and breakthroughs just about every time you encounter them. We know things of the Spirit birthing and manifesting and coming to pass in their life. That's the type, you know, fruit I'm looking for, and that's who my mentors are, and that's who my role model is. That's the first requirement I have. Because I don't care where your degree is, what your house is, what your car is, when I see you dry in the Spirit, I'm about to shout right now. Have a testimony, can hardly see God in anything or anybody. You're negative, you're complaining, you're right in with the world, you're fearful, you speak all kind of fear and doubt and insecurity all the time. Hey, I'll pray for you. If you ask, I sure will pray with you. I will love you because I owe you that. But I'm not looking up to you, and I'm not following you, and I'm not admiring you. We have to be warriors in prayer. And if we do that, and I'm looking at Philippians 6 now, if we're committed to not being worrying, but being warriors, and Philippians 4:6 says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Prayer needs to be like a waterfall. I've been to Niagara Falls years ago when I was like a teenager. Pat, have you ever been to Niagara Falls, or have you ever seen a waterfall before?
Yeah, I don't think I've been to Niagara Falls, but yeah, I've seen a lot of waterfalls. Yeah, refreshing.
Yeah, and the water's constantly going, constantly flowing, constantly falling, never stopping, never stopping. Prayer needs to be like a waterfall. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just share. Yes, hallelujah. Overflow. Why is this broadcast anointed? Why are we filled with the Holy Ghost? Why hot that come out? It's not because of who we are. We're nothing but another chunk of a few in flesh walking around here, not any better than anybody else. But it's that life of prayer and that life of keeping the evidence of God's word working in our lives. It makes God come alive in us and through us and through us, and we have that overflow. Not only are we full and fulfilled, but we have so much that at times like this, when we come together to talk on this broadcast to be a blessing to the world, that we just give, hallelujah, flowing with God and his anointing and his power and his goodness. Faith without works is dead. Nothing from nothing is nothing. We have to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only.
Hmm.
It says in Psalms 25:14, the secret of the sweet, this is Amplified Version 2, Psalms 25:14, the secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear, revere, and worship him, and he will show them his covenant and reveal to them its deep inner meaning. Pat, we got too many unsatisfied Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Christians that are not satisfied with their companionship with the Lord. But it says here, the secret, see, it's a secret. And the only way to get in on the secret is through prayer and worship. Prayer is a component of worship. You can't worship good without a praying spirit, and you can't pray good if you're not a worshiper. They're cousins. They're kissing cousins, prayer and worship. Can't have one without the other. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear and revere and worship him. And so it's very important. Prayer helps in being satisfied in your friendship with God. Prayer aids and helps in being fulfilled. like you just said, Pat, to the point of overflowing as a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Prayer, being full of prayer makes you be full of God. It makes you be pregnant all the time with his purposes, with his mind, with his heart, with his love, with his direction, with his guidance, with his anointing, with his abilities operating supernaturally in and to and through you. You don't need Prozac. You don't need alcohol. You don't need cigarettes and Christ. Do Christ right. And like you said, it's several very simple components to it. Foundation is prayer. In Ephesians 6, where it talks about the armor of God for Christians to put on. And we know about the sword of the Spirit, that's the word, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. We're not going to teach that all tonight. The whole armor that the Christian puts on. But the very last piece that seals the whole outfit, come on, Pat, in the Spirit, is prayer.
Amen.
Prayer is
Amen.
Key. You are not ready for prime time. You are not ready to leave your house in the morning. You're not ready to get out of the bed until you prayed. You're not ready for the battle of that day. You're not ready for the demons that are going to attack that day. You're not ready for the devil that day in the spirit until you have prayed. That's a key piece. Your whole spiritual outfit is not on until you pray.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about praying just on Sunday or praying just when you go to prayer meeting and everybody else is praying, or praying just at the revival once or twice a year, or praying, you know, when you see or hear a little song or see a little song on TV that gets you stirred up for a moment. We're talking about somebody that's stubborn, that hasn't made up mind. David encouraged himself and kept himself stirred up. Nobody's going to do that for you. Prayer comes and goes, it wanes, you know, the spirit of God, the flow of God is high, is low, is in between. There's times you're on a real spiritual high, times, most of the time you just kind of so if you like most people, and then sometimes you may even be low. It goes and ebbs and flows. If you just don't just depend on just, you know, just let prayer happen when it happens, again, you're going to be miserable, you're not going to be fulfilled. You have to understand that that's one of the responsibilities that Christ has left us. He's left prayer here for us. He's left the Holy Spirit for us 24/7. It's available. But now it's up to each individual Christian if I'm going to tap into that and hook into that and stay committed to that. And you say, well, then if my occasion to prayer is not during the worship hour on Sunday morning when the preacher say everybody pray, Misty, if my occasion is not on Wednesday night prayer meeting, you know, if these official times are not when I'm supposed to pray or not the only time I'm supposed to pray, then when do I know it's the occasion to pray? When you begin to take in some information that's worrisome or fearful or negative. Fearful of something that's going to happen in the future. Fearful about something going on with some family member. Fearful about some dream you have that might not come to pass that you feel God put in your heart. Fearful. Anything like that that comes across your mind and lingers there. Right there is the occasion that you need to pray. You need to thank God. You need to praise God and say we need to be having Thanksgiving going on. We just read over there in Philippians 2. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and definite request with thanksgiving. You got to always have thanksgiving mixed in there with your prayer life. Let your request be made known unto God. Let your request be constantly known unto God. And when you do that constantly, you're taking the pressure's coming off you. Now, here's make sure you catch this. Or something key is being released here. The pressure is then not on you, but the pressure then is on God and on his word. As you give it back to God, the minute that word hits you, it's like a bullet. Come on now. Ooh, your mama's going to die. Ooh, big old bill just came in. Ooh, your bank account going to get drained out. Ooh, your daughter about to flunk all her classes. Ooh, the minute that bullet hits you, you let it right back out in prayer. Be supernatural and let the bullet hit you and go straight through you as you pray it on.
Wow.
You don't need a surgeon. You don't need a spiritual doctor. You don't need the apostle to come, the prophet to come, the pastor to come. You yourself can be your own prophet.
Amen.
Turn it into a prayer. Turn it into a praise song. Turn it into a talk with Jesus. Turn it into a conversation with God. And speak God's word over. Say, God, you promised me that you are great on the inside of me than he is in the world. My child is not going to flunk out of school. Because you promised me, Lord God, that you, that if I would save me and my whole household to worship you, that you would protect me. You told me that the blessings would run me down and overtake me. Heed your voice and obey you. God, I am doing it now. I have done it. I have given, surrendered all to you. And God, I know that I am blessed and highly favored according to your word. Thank you, Lord. Thanksgiving. Hallelujah. I enter your gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I enter your hearts with your courts with praise. This is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Turn it into a prayer. And I guarantee you, you will physically feel the release. As you release it and God grabs it. It's not just something in the spirit. I mean, you will physically feel tension come off your neck. I tell you, I live this thing. I experience this thing. I just talked to you about that at prayer on Friday, didn't I, Pat? I mean, wow. I mean, you can just feel it lift off of you.
Amen.
And it don't take all day long prayer. It might just be Jesus. Help, Lord. I know that's what my pastor's wife says, Pat, and I know you go to the same church I go to. She says she walks her house, she's been doing it for years, and most of the time she just say, Lord help, Lord help, Lord help, Lord help. It could be very simple. It could be two words, Jesus, one word, Jesus, because he knows the whole prayer.
That's right.
But it's the act of your heart to turn towards him and not try to figure out the self and find yourself. And go to other people and have 10-hour conversations. Listen, I've done this. I know what I'm talking about. I've gone and had 10-hour conversations with somebody else, talking out and analyzing it out, and I felt worse when I got through it when I started. There's no help in people. There's no help in man. The help you need, well, there is some help in them, but it's far, far below the help that God can do.
Mm-hmm.
Pray.
Amen.
We have to stick with that and hold on to that and don't give that up. And even in that prayer meeting I just mentioned, just a prayer meeting I had a couple of days ago, and Pat was there, and I had some concerns in my business life, you know, and had some people in my business life that have been kind of the last 2 or 3 weeks have just really gotten bad with some of the interactions with these individuals and some of the things that were going on in the atmosphere when I did business with these people. And I had let myself fall into the rut. Of course, I'm always prayerful, but I was praying for them some. I'm going to be honest, maybe a little bit, but I was more angry with them in my thought life and more frustrated and more really worried about how it was going to all turn out. And, you know, God just said to me out of the blue when I was trying to talk to him about it one day, you know, you need to pray for these people more and harder and more consistently.
Wow.
That's why you feel such a burden and such a darkness and such a cloud and such a heaviness. Because in the midst of the whole thing, God was saying to me, you blessed and highly favored. You know, I mean, all kind of bullets, spiritual bullets were coming my way. These people were doing all kind of devious, underhanded things. There was all kind of negative stuff in the atmosphere. But God was saying to me, you blessed and highly favored. And I knew that was true, and I would think about that, and I would hold on to that, and I knew that was true. You know, and God was saying to me, hey, just because you're going through a negative time right now, your status with me has not changed. Your stable place in my kingdom is not affected by what you're going through, by what battle you're fighting, or not affected by who hates you or who's your enemy. Always remember that. So I knew that and I received that, but yet I could still carry the fear, the concern. See, it was a process of working this thing out. And that can happen to any of us, even a person with the best prayer life. You know, a lot of things can affect where you might get off for a little bit. You know, you may be tired, not getting enough sleep. You may not be eating like you should, the right foods or whatever. You know, there are different things. You know, we're human, you know. So, you know, we can be subject to these things, even those of us that are committed and devoted. It can happen. It does happen. It is going to happen. But I just kept on talking to God. I said, God, you know, where am I at right now? You know, this thing is stressing me out. I don't believe being stressed out. You know, these people are getting on my nerves, and I'm mad at them, you know, and it's just, it's worrisome. And so God, over several days' time, worked it out with me to get me back in my place, to give me understanding the position that I'm in and that I've always been in. You know, and that is the place of victory. And that is the place of blessing. And that is the place of quietness and peace inside myself. And he reminded me of Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. And so God said, remember, when you go out there and interact with the world, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And you need to make sure that you stay in that secret place at all times. And then, and now that was Psalms 91 and 1. And Psalms 91 and 8 said, you yourself will see what's happening to the wicked, but you yourself will be inaccessible because you'll be in the secret place of the Most High. And see, prayer has everything to do with the secret place. Doesn't it? Prayer has everything to do with
everything.
Getting in the place. Well,
everything.
Christians are really already there. You know, if you're born again, you're already there.
Mm-hmm.
But your ability to stay there, or your ability to stay conscious and aware of the fact that in Christ, Pat, now tell me if I'm wrong, in Christ we are in the secret place.
Yeah, and I think that the more you know him, the deeper in prayer you can get. The more you spend time with him, you know, the relationship that you have with him, that's the quality of prayer you can have with him.
Yes. And isn't that an admirable quality to want to have? To be there,
you
can be in the secret place. I mean, it's great to be in the entryway. You know, that's a person that's just been born again, a baby Christian, and that's great. It's nothing wrong with just being in the entryway. You know, you just stepped in the door. It's not, I'm not snubbing that or making fun of that. But come on, Pat. Isn't it beautiful to go deeper and deeper and deeper into? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and the more you spend time with him, you know, the better it gets, too. Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Glory to God. And, you know, I just, to the Lord, you know, as God was, you know, restoring me and reviving me and reminding me, Pat, we're a forgetful people. Come on. We're a forgetful people. We can be sinful and we can be forgetful. And as God was reminding me and helping me to remember my position and my status in him, you know, and everything, and then not only did I get back into just really taking my energy. When those people come to my mind, I immediately start making it into a prayer, praying a blessing over them, a blessing over their families, praying they'll be saved, praying they'll be filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, praying they'll have a, you know, join a church and get a local church family, you know, praying God will open doors to minister, you know, to them, for me and for other people. Just, I just turn it into something, just any old thing that's of God. I just, when their names come to me, I start speaking the word of God over them. I do not allow it to linger on me and start getting into, you know, all the details of what they doing and how it's making me feel and what they doing to me and who's persecuting me and coming against me and I don't know why they don't like me. I ain't done nothing to them. Why they trying to do it to me? Just getting an because I'm by nature in my own human flesh, I'm extremely analytical. Okay, I can't help it. It's time with me in my salvation to get less of Misty and more. Less of Misty. Things out and this God is the figure, and I just trust like a child, simply trust. So I have to be reminded often. I'm getting better, and I'm glad that I'm getting deeper, but, you know, it's something we all got what we have to deal with, okay? But God is a good God and a merciful God, and he gently reminds me that the battle is his, not mine. Come on, Pat. He's made me strong in a lot of ways, both in the natural and the spiritual. I've been blessed with strength. But no matter how much strength he's blessed me with, because, hey, Paul, we all supposed to be strong in the Lord. You know, but no matter how much strength he's blessed me with, the battle is not mine. I am not to take up the battle. And I know many times in God's sight, I'm like a toddler. He hasn't slapped me on my hands. Okay, mister, you taking it up, girl. You taking it up. You taking it up. You taking my place. You doing my job, mister. Pray and trust me. Keep it on the altar before me. Keep those names. And so God said to me, he said, name by name, write down everything. I know on Friday, I know you had a list, Pat, and I had a list of people that have been getting on my nerves here lately. And God just spoke, and he revealed, he said, you know, it's a purpose for the people that's getting on your nerves. That too. See, everything got a purpose. Everything got a purpose.
Yeah.
And you said it just now, Pat, the people that are getting on your nerves, if you will yield to God, the purpose of that is to drive you deeper into the secret place, to drive you deeper into God. If you handle it right. If you handle it right. We started this conversation about handling things God's way, handling things right. If you handle it right, you block the devil's eye, because what he meant for evil, to stress you out, to put you in the hospital, to get you on medication, to get you at the psychiatrist, to get you crazy, to get you mean, to get you in the flesh, the very thing he meant to stress you out and take you out with and have you in fear and terror and torment, that very thing, if you will handle it according to God's word and handle it in prayer, keep him in the arena of faith and keep him in the arena of prayer. What he meant for evil, God will turn it to a good. I don't care what it is.
God will turn it to a good.
But if the devil, if you let yourself live in the arena of fear and apprehension and worry, the devil will whip you every time. But if you will keep him in the arena, in the boxing match, in the courtroom, if you will keep him in the arena of prayer and faith and God's word, you will win every time.
That's right.
Hang in there and stick with it and persevere. It may not happen overnight. You may have some trials and tribulations. You may have some wrestling matches along the way. It may not come quick, but your breakthrough will come. It shall come to pass. God said in 1 John, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will endure forever. He said, and my word never goes out of void, but it accomplishes the purpose. Wherefore I sent it. And if you will stick with that and stick by that and believe in that and hold on to that and cling to that for dear life, like a soul cast into the middle of the ocean with nothing but a piece of driftwood to hang on to, if you will know that you are desperate in God and that God is all you have, and for God you live and for God you die, and if God don't get you out of this, you're not going to get out of it, but you hold on to that word in a praise spirit, and if you do that, then faith will be alive, then you will come out on top. There's no way you
can
fail.
Amen. That's right.
And so then once he reminded me all that, and I, you know, got, you know, became aware of my position again fully and began to function again, and then some things I got coming up, you know, in the next couple of months, you know, in my purpose and in my ministry and in my calling, and, you know, and those things are kind of a mystery in some ways right now, you know, and I don't really know how those things are going to end up, and I don't totally understand every detail of that. And God said the same, remember. Pray about, you know, sometimes, remember we said Friday, sometimes you got to pray about your past, because there's something in your past that's got you imprisoned and trapped. The way out of that trap is pray your way out of that. And then whatever's going on right now that's trying to entrap you, imprison you, pray your way out of that. And then things that are coming down the road that you got questions for God about, and the devil would love you to be worried about and stressed out about and tormented about, turn that back. Through the prayer warrior spirit, through persevering prayer, and God, and again, even for the things that's happening in the future, you know, says Ephesians 1, you know, Paul made the declaration and the fact of the Bible school that, you know, that I graduated from, you graduated from, you know, and this is one of his favorite passages, and it's in the form of a declaration, but you can also pray it. In fact, I remember the founder of our Bible school saying that. You can either say your confession or pray your confession. Either way is correct. You can say it or you can pray it. You can declare it or you can pray it. But it says in Ephesians 1 ask God to give the body of Christ. Paul was praying for the church. And he said, I pray God give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge.
Amen.
For the things in the future, Pat, we need revelation. For the things in the past, we need deliverance. For the things that are going on right now, we need faith. Come on, let's shout. Faith is now.
Amen.
And for the things in the future, we need wisdom and revelation knowledge. Hallelujah. And the way to revelation knowledge is to pray in depth. You said it yourself, Pat, in depth and in detail. And God will open the future to you step by step. He ain't going to show you everything at once. But the questions you have and the mysteries. And I'm not just talking about stuff that's going to happen 5 or 10 years from now. I'm talking about stuff that's going to happen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months from now that you're wondering about. Don't
Amen.
Let it be a worry. Don't get in your flesh and allow that to become a worry. But make it into a prayer. Make it into a prayer. And as you make that into a prayer hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, you will see all of a sudden set into your life revelation knowledge, you know, prophetic knowledge, supernatural secrets and inside information about, you know, step here, step there. Do this, do that, don't do that, go this way, go that way. I mean, just a peace and a calm and a knowing, a confident knowing. Not a foolish, presumptuous knowing, but a confident knowing that everything's going to be all right, that God's in charge of the universe, okay, and that God's got some, what did Oral Roberts say, God got some good in store for you.
That's right.
And revelation knowledge of the details of how to proceed as a warrior. We're in a warfare. We're in a battle here spiritually. And our marching orders come from God. But God is wanting you to have your orders every day. Where do you get your godly orders from, Pat?
From Him.
It's from Him.
Yeah.
In your quiet time, in your devotional life, and in your prayer moments. In your prayer moments.
That's true.
Is where you get your marching orders. And that's how you also stay in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
People want to stop all this in and out of the kingdom stuff. Well, a consistent prayer life will teach you how. It's not easy, and it can be painful, but you can learn how to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit and not be a baby anymore. Let's shout. I'm about to shout, Pat. Toss to and fro with every wind of doctrine, up and down, crazy. Don't know right from wrong half the time, and go to church every Sunday. Come on, let's shout.
Amen.
And you don't know that you're single and not supposed to be having sex till you ain't married. And you go to church every Sunday. And you don't know certain songs you ain't got no business quoting and singing. Now, I don't want to get in too deep into all that because these people are saying, well, I'm judging. I want these people that's telling people about what their dress line ought to be like and their shirt ought to be like, and I ain't getting into all that because we all want to be led by the Spirit, okay? And so, you know, we just need to mind our own business because somebody may have on a mini skirt today. That don't mean that God ain't with them. We all have to be where we're at. Right, Pat? Come on now.
That's
I just
true.
Feel
that's
this
true.
To, mm-hmm. I, where
that's
I've
right.
been the last couple of weeks, and it wasn't the best place, okay, to hear me. Suppose somebody judge me, you know, where I was going through a time where I was kind of off. Come on now, we all can be off some, you know. But the bottom line is we need to pray for one another. If you see something you think is a fault in another Christian, a weakness in another Christian, or something going out of the Word, don't go gossip about it, and don't go put them down and confront them about it. You know, and don't worry about it. Have a little talk with Jesus. Call their name out. Be an intercessor for their breakthrough. And they may never know, but that doesn't matter. God knows. And God said in Ephesians 6, I will not forget your work and labor of love in that you have ministered to the saints and you do minister.
Mm-hmm.
God said that he will not forget your labor of love. Doesn't matter whether they ever know, I ever say thank you, I ever even know that you prayed for them. That's not the point. But you ought to take your time and energy and be led by the Spirit about who to pray for, what to pray, when to pray, how to pray. And one of your biggest signals is when worries come and fears come and insecurities come. I mean, I've battled been battling with insecurities my whole life. I'm a very confident person, a very strong person, but then I'm also have a contradiction in me because I can also be very insecure. I'll just go on and admit it. But those are all signals. It's time to pray. Come on, Pat.
You're not tangled in security.
Mm-hmm. It's prayer. Hey, a lot of people, I don't know how to set prayer time. I don't know when to pray. Well, when should it be in the morning? Should it be at night? You know, they say Jesus got up early in the morning to grab before day. So some people have made that a religion. Oh, you got to pray at 4 in the morning. If you don't pray at 4, God is out of business. No. When, you know, and I'm not saying you only pray when you're under attack. You know, you ought to pray at happy times, good times. You ought to pray at times when you're not under attack. You're not necessarily on how we, you know, we're supposed to pray without ceasing. You know, you should always have to say thank you, Jesus. But particularly, that's a time to pull up an altar in your heart. Feel a feeling of hate. Feel a feeling of jealousy. Feel a feeling of strife. Feel a feeling of being rejected. Feel a feeling of being left out. All these little human beings that we all go through. That's a sign, a signal. We need to have a moment of prayer. You need to turn your eyes toward Jesus. You need to turn. It says Daniel turned his eyes towards heaven 3 times a day. Come on now. Time today, Daniel turned his eyes towards heaven. And we don't make that no formula. I know with me, I need to turn my eyes towards heaven 20 times a day. Now, you might not need that one. 20 times a day. Hey, it's busy on the inside of me. My mind is busy. My heart is busy. My emotions are busy. My spirit is busy. I'm busy on the inside. So 20 times a day or more, I need to be turning my eyes towards heaven. You know what your thought life is like, and you know what you're going through, what season you're in, and God knows. But we need to pray without ceasing. We need to persevere in prayer. That lets us know that prayer is not, being a prayer warrior is not easy. It's not going to be given to you for nothing. You're going to have to pay the price. You're going to get knocked off the Bronco and knocked off the Bronco and knocked off the Bronco and knocked off the Bronco. And you're going to have enough discipline and enough love for God and enough commitment to get back on the Bronco. Just keep on getting back on the Bronco. Keep on getting back into prayer. Keep on getting back into your quiet time. Keep on getting back. Listen, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I talked to a lot of Christians over the years, and that's one of the biggest struggles for Christians is to keep a strong devotional life. To learn how to set up quiet time, to keep with quiet time, and eventually you should graduate to a phase in your life where you should always have set aside quiet time. You don't always need that. But what we're talking about tonight is, you know, that more mature walk you get into, where it goes beyond just my set quiet time, which that's hard enough to even stick with a set quiet time, okay? But even once you get those skills down, at some point you got to get to the point where you understand that quiet time is all the time. Secret place is all the time. Prayer is without. And God's got to reveal to you how to do that in a practical way. Because truly you can't literally pray 24/7, you know, can't do that. So you say, well, God, how do you do that? It's supernatural. It has to be revealed to you supernaturally. How to walk in the spirit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and how to keep prayer going.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Well, I understand it. Yeah, it's true. I mean, he's with you wherever you go. I mean, the post office and grocery store. I mean, he's always there. And there's times when you got to say a quick prayer. You know, something's going on. You pray. You know, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, you build your foundation and you pray. Gets, you know, a time when you have your quiet time, and then sometimes you may be out, grocery store or something, and you may have to, you know, say a quick prayer to the Lord. You know, just connect right in.
Amen.
24/7.
Well, yes, Lord. And I hate Pat, because I see your engine just burning, and you getting some good. Sure. I'm sorry, but you know, Pat, you've been good. But you got some good stuff coming out. I hate it, but thank God we're going to come together next time. Amen. You fool. I know you're pregnant right now, but so you need the birthday release. But hey, we thank God for everyone, and we love you. We will be back. But share this and tell about this. And Pat, we got 1 minute. You take us out in prayer.
Well, Father, we just want to pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. These instructions that we had on prayer tonight and teaching that we had on prayer, we pray they will touch the hearts and lives of the ones that are listening in the name of Jesus. And I pray that they will devote a special time to you each week to pray, or daily prayer time with you, Father. And I pray, it's my prayer, that they grow stronger and deeper in you within their prayer lives in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So stay tuned for our for our advertisement, and we'll be with you next time. Pray, 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 and tell some.
You've been listening to Soaring with Eagles in Leadership and Excellence with your host, Misty Long, Director of Devoted to Him Ministries. Please visit our website, devotedtohim.org, and join us on Facebook at Devoted to Him Global Ministries. Join us next time on Soaring with the Eagles.